In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. No man is an island. It takes a village to raise a child. Even E pluribus unum, which translates from many one. Study history and you'll find, whether it's in prose or in poetry, the many different ways it's been communicated our need for being part of something bigger than just ourselves. And how that plays out in our lives is a blessing. It doesn't take much life experience to realize the importance of this truth. Already as a very young child, I was exposed to big family, which in my case meant not only the family that I was a part of as my brothers and sisters, but the very large extended family of my father's side that gathered just about every single Sunday afternoon or evening at Grandma's house to be together, to not only know what everybody else was doing, but to encourage and support one another. If you grew up with a tradition like that, you know what I'm talking about. But all it really takes is one chore or challenge for a youngster to come to realize what this all means. As you stand there facing that moment when you need to get something done or something else is vexing you, and that thought dawns on you. If there was someone else, if there was only someone else sharing this moment or this task with me, it would make life so much easier. So with that axiom proven, it's not that much of a leap now for me to ask you to take a moment to do some inventory of the relationships of your life and how you value them, how you value community. For instance, the workplace. Is there somebody that works with you that has such an impact on your day-to-day duties that you can't even begin to imagine what life would be like if you punched in without them someday? What about the neighborhood? Do you have a neighbor or a neighbor family that proves such a daily blessing in your life that you also can't imagine what living apart from them would be like? If so, do not take it for granted. Make sure they understand how much you appreciate them and family and our everyday lives. What about them? It would really be hard, wouldn't it, beginning to even take an inventory of all the many ways those connected to us by genetics bless our lives, benefit them, bring meaning to them? Perhaps it would take a book if we had the time to write it. When it comes to church, do you think of the community that you join here for worship, for other activities, in a similar way? Do you understand and see the difference it makes in your life, the need you have for maintaining a vital commitment to a Christian community? I pray that you do. But I also pray that the Holy Spirit uses the words of the lesson from Hebrews today to also reinforce in you the why. The why it's so important to find a family of believers with which you connect, with which you find community. So let's read just a portion of that lesson again. Let's go just to verse 11, first of all. But the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Welcome home. Whether it's ever crossed your mind to see it that way or have ever read this verse and had it presented to you in this way, this verse states it, and you not only have a brother, a holy brother named Jesus, he tells you right here he is not ashamed to call you his brother or sister. It's almost as if you're experiencing one of those moments that you sometimes see now on social media where someone's having revealed to them the fact that they have an older sibling they never knew anything about, and now it's time to meet them. This sibling, though, is perfect. He's exceptionally powerful, and he can fix every last thing that's broken about you and your life. That's amazing. That's simply amazing stuff. So let's look also at the other verses that tell us how this could possibly be. Let's start at verse 9. We do not see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. And then continue at verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, like you and me, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. Do you know anyone who has a family member that they're mortally embarrassed of? They would choose not to introduce them to you if they really had the choice, because anytime they're making that connection and introducing that relative to anyone new, that they want to have respect and other things from, they feel as though it's a ticking time bomb, that it's only a matter of time, tick, 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 before that relative says something or does something that just explodes the whole situation socially, and pain and unpleasantness are certain to result. Jesus has an interesting way of approaching that particular element of relationships. He considers you his brother, his sister. And how well does he know you? Well, he knows every last thing about you. He knows every thought you've ever had. He knows every word you've ever spoken. He's witnessed everything you've ever set your hand to or refused to set your hand to if it was required of you. He's been present. And he has seen with his own eyes every last image, every last word that's ever passed over a screen in front of you throughout your whole lifetime, whether that goes back to television and movies or whether that means the handheld devices that you interact with on a daily basis. He truly knows every last thing about you. And he has a right to look at you as one of those relatives he'd rather not know the world, or rather not have the world know, is connected to him. And yet our perfect brother left behind the beauty, the wonder, the praise of heaven to dive deep into the dumpster fire of the world in which we live every day, doing everything necessary to rescue me and you and every single one of his human creation from the reality that should result from our sins. And it is natural for us to ask the question, why? Why would he do this? And his answer is right here. Because we are his family. There are a number of ways you can trace that family history back, but the easiest and quickest is to follow the straight line back to the very first chapters of Genesis. Every human walking this earth today traces ancestry back to Adam and Eve. God created them, and through them, every one of us. And that Creator God has always welcomed the title of Father of his human family. Unfortunately, everything that is broken and sinful about us can also be traced back to this very same Adam and Eve, who in return for this perfect Father's offering them a perfect life in a perfect place, perpetrated against him the most awful rejection, most disrespectful moment of disobedience the universe has ever known. But our Father, having experienced such a thing, did not throw down in anger an immediate promise to obliterate them from the face of the earth. No, rather, He promised them a descendant of their very own, a son and a brother. By the end of chapter 3 of Genesis, they know without any doubt on that very same day that they violated God's creation and their relationship with their creating Father, that He was sending one of them down the line somewhere to crush the head of Satan, the one who held the power of death here in our verses, and to undo that curse that they had brought upon themselves. And these verses from Hebrews spell out just how that was all done by Jesus the Christ, so that no human brother or sister of Christ ever has to fear death ever again. Think that through for a moment. If it were the only observable reason for you to value connection to a Christian community that benefited your life, that you would no longer need to fear death, that would be all that you would need. But here in these verses, there's clearly so much more. But here you have the most vital laid out for you in graphic detail. Death is not an unknown. Death is nothing for you to fear any longer. A Christian community that speaks God's word, that builds its teaching and all that it does in worship on that same word, has every answer you need to understand death and to face death without fear. Why? Because we're told right here that the power of death is gone. Our brother Jesus conquered death. How? Well, here it lays it out for us. He faced every temptation that we face. In other words, He lived the reality of human life to its fullest, yet never giving into a single temptation. He ended death's reign by offering Himself, though perfect, flawless, obedient, every moment that His heart beat, it beat for His creating Father who offered Him into the existence of our world. The way the creeds put it together, that refers to it as begotten of the Father. He always existed, but the Creator intervened in our world and became one with us, taking on a human nature. That's the only change involved in His deity. But what it all means for us. He experienced death voluntarily, and that doubly makes us His brothers and sisters when we think that through. Because first He joined us in nature by taking on our human nature, and then He won an eternal relationship with Him through the dying and rising that is defining these verses as the payment for our sins that deserved eternal death. So welcome home. You belong here because you belong to Christ and with Christ. And understand what that makes each one of us who trust and treasure this relationship with Jesus. That makes us also brothers and sisters of one another. But let's be clear, we've always been brothers and sisters in other ways, haven't we? We all have equally found our guilt, as the scripture mirror is held up to us to show us our many wayward sins against our Heavenly Father. We all are equal in our brokenness. Even though much of that brokenness is unique to us, there's so much that's also common that none of us has any room to believe that any of us is better than anyone else. We're all equally doomed without God's intervention in our lives. And in that brotherhood, that sisterhood, we all know how desperately we need Jesus to make us brothers and sisters in a completely different way. We've all been equally rescued and redeemed in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and able to rejoice and find peace in the certainty of life with God forever. Remember how he describes the moment we will know that in its completeness? He will embrace us. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. He will eliminate every memory of our brokenness and welcome us into heaven. That's the best welcome home ever possible. So while churches have so much else going on, so many activities and ministries, so many challenges and dynamics, at the center of all of that, you and I need to always remember what is most important: knowing our brother Jesus and his saving love. No church, no gathering of believers on this side of eternity will ever be perfect. We all know probably too well and have our personal remembrances of the ways that even this family of believers has failed us. Faith Lutheran is no more perfect than any other congregation, and this church body has its failings as well. No one should have any misunderstanding of any of that, but our brother Jesus is perfect and has made every one of us perfect through his bloody death and triumphant resurrection. So every place where his word and sacraments are proclaimed and celebrated for the growing of faith in us, love and hope, that's where you and I need to be, his brothers and sisters, forgiving as we have been forgiven and together offering that same forgiveness to everyone else, and especially far beyond the walls of this place, every chance that we have the opportunity. So welcome home. I'm very glad that you're here today. I can say with certainty that your Savior Jesus Christ is very glad that you are here today. And I pray also that you are rejoicing, so glad and thankful for the Christian community that you do have. A family that embraces you with the most important truths of eternal love and life. Truths that will keep you close to Christ in faith. And truths that will guide every step of your journey onto that awesome, final, welcome home that will make you perfect and fulfill you in every way forever. Amen. Please stand. We'll grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.